Today's talk, nurturing and strengthening your relationships. And we have Moira. As you've just heard, Moira is a meditator of 34 years. She was a surgical nurse as well as a traveler. She's currently the director of the Brahma Kumari Centers in Argentina, where there is what I hear is amazing. A small, amazing, intimate retreat center, as well as a huge center in the heart of the capital. Moira runs sessions on values and personal development for organizations in Latin America. So not just Argentina, but right across South America. Today, we're hoping Moira is going to share with us how to invest in our relationships without exhausting ourselves. You know, sometimes we can invest in a relationship and afterwards we feel so tired and drained, and we don't want to be like that. We want our relationships to become worthwhile, a worthwhile investment. What is that? A relationship in which I'm happy and I'm able to support someone else's happiness. So a good relationship or a great relationship can make an individual, can make me better, make me do better, and also feel better. So how do we put our time, energy, and work in a way that it all comes back to us and we continue to flourish? Moira, I'm going to step out and I'm going to allow you to talk. Moira will be doing a meditation at the end of her talk, a short meditation at the end of her talk, and then she'll take your questions. Please send your questions to us via the question link on your email, and I will put those questions to Moira on your behalf. Moira, thank you.
Thank you very much, Arti. Someone has just asked me, someone's son is living here in Argentina, and you're asking me if where your son lives is where is near to me. So La Cumbre is in the north of Argentina, and actually I was educated there. My boarding school was there, but that is about 1,000 kilometers from where I live. So it's not really so near from where I am in Buenos Aires. So yes, thank you, Arti, and good evening to all of you. This aspect of relationships is so, so relevant to all of us. And especially in this COVID time, I think that none of us would ever have imagined that the world could suddenly stop and it would provide us of time and opportunity to look deep within our lives, within our families, and deep aspects of our life. It brought us back home, spending more time with our children, working together, sharing all resources. So for some people, this time must have meant a huge challenge in terms of family relationships, also working relationships, because close to the family and far from the teams. And so what a challenge, what a challenge. The world seemed to have kind of inverted completely. But I think that for all of us, that it became an opportunity, and life telling us you cannot escape anymore from yourself. So providing us a chance also to look at the relationship with myself. Relationships is something that I have been thinking of on my personal journey a lot, because I was one of these kind of busy workaholics coming and going and doing and doing and wanting to get things done. And many times being very result oriented at the cost of relationships. And I remember there was a time in which I was having a lot of difficulty in relationship with our teams. Those days I was helping the Brahma Kumaris in Chile. And I remember I was having a lot of difficulty to get things done together or through others. And I remember talking to one, Ken O'Donnell, who is our senior coordinator of Latin America based in Sao Paulo. And Ken said something to me and said, look, if you have to choose between efficiency and harmony, what would you put first? And so he said, harmony always goes first. Because even if we get things done and we are very productive or very efficient, if we are not in harmony, then whatever we are getting done won't be so impactful or lasting. Because it's really, you know, at the end of the day, when we put our head on our pillow, when the real result comes up, and that is when I answer the question, am I happy? And so I may be very, you know, content with my results and I got things done and I, you know, but then maybe we are not, there's a lot of tension, maybe people were hurt on the way. So I learned that it was not just anyhow that we could get the highest results. It did require a lot more attention. It required, and sometimes, you know, in order to reach consensus and in order to be, you know, inclusive, it might take us longer to get there, but it's worthwhile every moment that we invest in trying to harmonize, in listening to each other, in trying to understand where we're coming from. And sometimes I have been personally like very impatient in this process because I consider myself a very fast person. And sometimes, you know, when people say, okay, let me think about it and this, and I would try to convince people. And now I've learned that it's okay. It's really, really the only precious thing that we can have is our relationship. And I came to the conclusion that what else is there in life apart from, what else do we have apart from the relationship with myself, the relationship with others, the relationship with the divine, the relationship with nature? Outside of that, is there anything else? So I came to the conclusion that life is relationship. And so, and I have not been someone who has lived in so much harmony in relationships. And one of my big lessons on the journey was to learn how to become responsive rather than being reactive. I was very snappy, and I got angry very easily. And so I realized that although I did get things done because I was efficient and I had clever ideas, but then I felt lonely. I didn't feel that people were comfortable sometimes in my presence. So I had to learn a lot about relationships. And this thing of learning to respond is something that changed my life considerably. And this is something I would like to share with you. Because, you know, once a dear friend of mine came to visit Argentina. She was a scientist. She was coming from Cambridge. And she was into quantum science and all this. And because she knew about the teachings of the Brahma Kumaris, we used to spend long time sharing. And so I just shared like this very casually, you know, Antonia, I said, you know, I have to, my sound okay, Martin? So I said to her, you know, I have to take care of an anemia that I have that is very severe and it could become something more serious. And she kind of said, you know, when you overcome the anemia of the soul, the anemia of your body will be solved. What did this anemia in the soul mean? And I came to the conclusion, having looked at all my life, the way I tried to get things done, that I valued justice. But in the name of justice, I did things anyhow. And so I used to get angry or fight for things. And so I realized that anemia in this soul was anger. And so at that time, I thought, well, I have to do something about it because anger is something that really spoils relationships, as jealousy and many other negative emotions. But I will just speak of what my own experience. And so at that point, a dear friend came to Argentina and he had just published a book, which I'm sure you've come across in that beautiful inner space where Arti is, which is Don't Get Mad, Get Wise by Mike George. And Mike said something that really struck me. He said, things happen for me, but they don't happen to me. And that made me think. And it took me to the realization that, you know, when things happen, we could justify, see, let's say someone is angry at me or indifferent or, you know, whatever, something not nice. We could probably think, well, if this one is treating me in this way, then, you know, if I snap back, then that would be kind of reasonable. It would be maybe protecting myself. But what I learned is that it's not that I feel the way I feel. Let's say if someone is aggressive to me. So from this statement that Mike taught me, I learned that if someone is being aggressive to me, it's happening here. My favorite provocative person, those who press your buttons, is there. But if I think about what is being said, let's say he's insulting me. And if I feel insulted, then I would feel very bad. But I would probably think that I feel insulted because he or she said it. But what I discovered is that I can only feel insulted if I buy into that, if I import that into my mind. So if I start thinking about that, then the feeling of insult will emerge in my heart. But then the question would arise, who do I forgive? Him or her for saying it? Or forgive myself for thinking about it? Because what I discovered was that we feel what we think. If I now ask you, you know, think of someone you love dearly, and then what comes into your heart, what comes into your mind? Probably very beautiful feelings. And if I ask you, can you think of someone with you, that one that presses the buttons and makes you react? So maybe what feelings come up right now, maybe are feelings of discomfort or tension or rejection.
when I think of, you know, why I feel the way I feel, then if I observe that when I think of something good or something good in someone or anything good, I feel good. But if I think of someone negative or something negative in someone, then I don't feel good. So then I could come to the conclusion that feeling insulted really is about me. If I don't think about it, and that is being said, it won't hurt me. And I think that a very key aspect of relationships is that we take responsibility for how we feel. So, and I say it's a big cookie, you know, it's a difficult cookie to digest, because normally we are used to projecting and we are used to blaming others and saying, you know, I feel this way because this one did this or did that. So I play the victim. And when I feel a victim, I feel like I have a right to feel bad somehow. But then, you know, I might keep that in my heart, and it might become like a grudge or resentment. And that might last for so long. And I might be in a conflict with someone forever. And things may have changed for me, it may have changed for them, but that is still there. And it hasn't healed. There's a book called Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die. So we have to deal with these things. And I think that when we take responsibility for how I feel, then I regain something which is so important in our life of relationship, which is freedom. We are free to feel the way we want to feel. And so that puts me in front of choice. So, you know, if someone said something, it's up to me to take it or not. And it doesn't mean that I just need to sit there and allow just things to happen. I can also be, you know, I can respectfully respond. But when I take and I buy into any form of influence, I will naturally react to it. And this is when I lose my control. And one of the things that really gets in the way of harmony in our relationships is that we try to control others. We try to control what is happening in a team. We try to control our families. So there's so many ways in which we can do this. And really, we cannot control. And I think that my two big lessons from, you know, trying to understand how to be more responsive was that, first of all, I can't control anyone or anything outside of me. But I can attempt to have self-control. And the other thing that I learned is that I cannot change the past. And so one of the things that can help us in empowering our relationships is acceptance of whatever we have gone through and letting go, acknowledging and accepting and letting go. And, you know, if I was to tell you, okay, letting go, if I let go of this mic, you just see I put it from one hand to the other, so simple. But when it comes to resentment, when it comes to hurt, when it comes to having been humiliated, then it's not so easy to let go, right? So letting go really means creating something new. And I think this is when this aspect of investing in our relationships is so important. We need to focus and create that which we want. And sometimes I think we have gone a long way thinking that clearing, you know, making things clear is like telling you everything I feel. And that might just be, you know, in the name of honesty or sincerity, it might just be a wave of intolerance, you know, because maybe what I have to say is not exactly what you're interested or want to hear. And that doesn't mean that we don't communicate and create sometimes some rules in a way of interacting, and we can very sincerely open our hearts and share what it is that, you know, bothers me, or what it is that is disruptive in our relationship. We can communicate everything, but sometimes in the name of sincerity, you know, I just tell you everything I've got in my mind, but if what I have in my mind is going to hurt you, then it's not something that I should be telling you. Because one rule that we need to know is that if we give sorrow, what we get is sorrow. And this is the principle behind everything in life, is that as we sow, we reap. So, you know, an image that I like is that it's an image that we use in the Brahma Kumaris, that we are gardeners. And I'm in charge of the garden of my life. So whatever seeds I plant in the garden of, and my life, my garden is really my mind, my heart, my relationships, and the possibility of making a difference, of contributing in a positive, interesting way to whatever is required from me. And so when I see myself as a gardener, I have the garden of my life and I'm in charge. Nobody can plant a seed in my garden, because nobody can think for me. Nobody can feel for me. So I'm the gardener in this garden, but I can have neighbor gardeners that have beautiful gardens, and they may have grown wonderful flowers and a beautiful setting. So when I look at into their garden, I might feel very inspired and say, wow, you know, I don't know about you, but I love orchids. I love orchids. Well, in these tropical countries, you get all these flowers. And so I can look at the flowers someone else has planted in their garden and feel inspired, and then come back home and do that. So I can't put my seeds in their garden, and they can't put their seeds in my garden. So this makes us like, we are together, but we are individual and whole. So each one is responsible. But together we can, in Spanish, there's a saying that together we are like dynamite, you know, like we can do a lot. So like we can be very close. We can create such synergy and create such an impact. We can also be together and incredibly distant and separate. Yet we may be eating at the same table, we may be sharing the same bathrooms or bedrooms or workplace or cars, whatever. So really being close to each other has to do with what we see in each other and what we choose to see. Because it, you know, if someone is very rude, or if someone is weak, if someone is unhappy, I see that. We all see that. But what do we choose to see in others is what we plant in the garden of my mind. So especially when we're working together, if we choose to see qualities, but that would only happen if I am also seeing my own qualities. So that is an investment. It's like a little hobby that we can try to do. And I think I don't know how much time I have, Arti, but I would like to share my latest experience. About a month ago, a bit more, maybe 6 weeks, I had a fall and I broke this arm, which is now healing very fast, amazingly fast. And when I fell, it was very painful. So I had to, immobilize it for a month. And only a week ago, it was removed. So I'm starting to rehab. But I connected this fall, because everything that happens in our life happens for some reason. And it is always the consequence of a seed that I planted in my life. And when I fell, I had a lot of time to myself. I was very silent. And you know what? One thing I discovered is that when you have very strong physical pain, it becomes like a gateway that allows so the pain or the sorrow in the soul to emerge. Whatever we have stored that we haven't yet dealt with, and we're on a journey dealing with things, and things can get better and better, but things do come up. So for 2 days, I felt like very sad, very sad, very quiet. Those in the house who were caring for me with so much love didn't even want to talk to me. They kind of sensed that she just needs to be very quiet. So they would bring the food into my room and they would go so respectfully. And it was very precious in that sense too, because I realized the things that I hadn't dealt with, and everything to do with relationships, but relationship with myself. I realized there's nothing that I feel that I could blame anyone for. No one. So there I was, cleansing. Because when we are able to see what we have stored in our hearts, and it comes to the surface, and I'm able to see that, and we would, of course, make a choice. We want to move on. We want to let go. So this is when the cleansing, when the healing starts happening, because anything negative is not really part of me. And if we look deep within us, we would see that our nature is peaceful and loving and true. So we would normally, naturally, automatically want relationships that we can enjoy. And so this aspect of cleansing is an opportunity to, move on and say, make a choice and say, okay, what do I need? So, these days in bed, I spend a week because I had to be very still for the bone not to move. And I looked at my relationship with everybody in our center, our meditation center. We are five here. Five people that couldn't be more different. If God made a choice, he found five very, very different people and brought them together and put them here. And so during this quarantine, we went through different phases. We went through each one going through all this stuff. And I'm sure all of you have gone through a lot, because this was the game. This was the real game that we had to face ourselves. And it gave me a chance to say, okay, what am I contributing to in the relationship with the people I live, those that are closest to me, these five? And so I realized, when I was not peaceful, when I was harsh, when I was demanding, when I was, very egocentric or not listening or interrupting them, so many little, aspects. And I thought, wow, I need to change. And I realized that this form, because everything that happens in life has a lesson, it has a gift. Whatever negative thing happens has come to teach us something. That will be our gift, because it will leave us at a different level of our consciousness and realization. And so I said, this is all about being positive and exercising seeing virtue. And this is what I've done, you know, and I deliberately, I have a little thing on my desk and says, don't look at others. Don't look at the past. Let's talk about self-progress. And I made a few of these and they took them with them. And so, you know, it created such an amazing space in my mind. So positive. And I realized that the way, the tone of our voice, the way, the energy, the vibration, because relationship is all about, is all vibration, really. Even if we don't say anything, people feel what we think. This is why sometimes a conflict may not have been declared in any way, but it's there, vibrant, because we think about it and we feel, and that vibrates out to people. So, when we are doing the opposite, then that embraces people and it brings them close. And it's become, you know, something has shifted in such a beautiful way. And yesterday we were going for a walk, which was my first walk after 6 weeks. Our little boutique retreat place that Artie was mentioning is in a golf course. And so we were walking in this beautiful area. And we were talking with this brother that what have we learned? What have we gained in all this time? And we both agreed how we had become light by choosing to see the good in us and the best in others too. And even though we see things, you know, like we see weaknesses, we see mistakes, we can also choose to let it be, or let it go. And it's like, I don't know if this is this expression in English, just to finish, that just let the water under the bridge and, you know, it will just get cleared. And in this, I hold a vision of someone who was a very important example, which I imagine many of you know, because you live in London and you would have might have met Daddy Janki. Daddy was someone whom, whenever we went to talk to her, sometimes we used to go and take advice and ask her to take us through things that we couldn't deal with. And I remember once I told Daddy about a conflict I was going through. Daddy said to me, you know, that she talked to me as if that was not happening. And I thought, she didn't get it. She didn't understand. And it was not that she didn't get it, it's just that she didn't take it and she just let it be. And she moved on and she moved me on. So Daddy was someone who was so inspiring in this way and always reminding us of the good in us, holding a high vision for me and for others. And that was a very beautiful lesson, because when we have a high vision for others, that which we want to see change in others, if we hold it in our vision as, you know, in the form of hope and good wishes, it will surely at some point, it's like the fragrance of the flowers from one garden, the fragrance does go to the neighbor garden as well. So Artie, I think I'll stop here and you tell us how we continue.
So, if you'd like to do a meditation, a short meditation, got 3-4 minutes, and then we'll go from there.
Right. Okay, so let us take our attention inward. Let me breathe deeply. And with each breath, let me let go any tension, whether it's in my back or on my shoulders, or in my heart. Let me let go. Let me relax. So I take my attention inward. And I will focus on a sacred space behind my eyes, my inner world, where I can observe myself, feel my presence. I'm there, I'm with myself. I am the living energy that is reflecting through my eyes, through my attitudes. I am the living energy behind my words. I am the living energy creating my actions and my every interaction, creating bridges that reach out to others. And I reach out with my thoughts, through my feelings, through my presence, creating relationships, being myself. My thoughts and my feelings are my contribution to every relationship. And if there is anything that I would like to see different in my relationship with anyone, I know I can come back home. And I can create beautiful thoughts, powerful feelings. So I come back home to be with myself, to experience that living force of calm and peace. That is my nature. And I realize that when I am calm, I feel very safe. I am very stable. And I'm very clear. So calm is my strength, and I can go deeper within that feeling, into my inner peace. I can dive deep within the feeling of total freedom. I am at one with myself, just being who I am, very peaceful, a very loving being. Love is my nature, the energy that nourishes everything I do. I am peaceful. I am love. And I will go deeper to silence, beyond all connection, beyond anything temporary. With my awareness, I can go into the deepest silence, to my home, where I see myself as a being of light. I'm just light. In the presence of the divine source of love, of peace. And I'm able to perceive the vibrations of unconditional love coming from the Supreme. This is the love that heals the wounds of the past. This is the love that has no expectations, but total acceptance. This is divine love. And in this feeling, I will return with my mind and I feel the breathing of my body as every breath, as the air comes in and out, and I allow this feeling of peace and love to spread around all my body, spreading life energy into every cell. So I breathe deeply and I'm here, back again. Om Shanti. Om means I am, and Shanti means peace.
Thank you very much for taking us through that meditation and that experience, but also for your sharings and your openness this evening.